News with Nick, technically the first episode recorded in 2019, is now March 3rd. So who knew how this could happen? Thanks for coming. Video version, if you want to watch it, is on newswithnick.com. Just click the episode and watch the video version. The reason we need to do a show is because right now, if you look for me and you find the website, and you just go to the website, it's just me next to a fat lady holding a baby. Because I put the last show's YouTube episode on the front page. And that is an interesting first look at the show. This company called Respawn, or their developers, right? They made the Titanfall series of video games. A couple weeks ago, they were like, hey, we didn't really tell anyone, but we've released a new video game. Here it is. It's called Apex Legends. I don't know. Do you like it? It's probably stupid. I don't think they said all that. But anyway, so they released it. It quickly became the most played video game in the world, right? Let's head on over to Twitch at the moment, and we can actually see what is the most played video game, most popular video game in the world right now. Right now it is Fortnite. Why is it Fortnite? Oh, because there's a tournament going on. So whenever there's a tournament, that pulls in more viewers. And there's probably always a tournament because it's Fortnite. Anyway, Apex releases, and I go, huh, I'll just try downloading Apex. Let's see if it's good. 90 hours later, I go, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that because I've wasted a lot of time playing Apex Legends now. And that's one reason why I didn't do a show, because I caught the video game addiction again. This keeps happening. The chat says, I've missed you on Puke and the Gang since they left New Hampshire. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I'd be great on that show when they go for 3 straight hours. All right, what else has happened? So yeah, playing video games, and that is about it. This is breaking today. A stuck Sun River off-roader ate taco sauce packets to survive, allegedly. Jeremy Taylor and his dog, Allie, spent 5 days in the woods. They were rescued by snowmobilers who were looking for them. So if you actually go on Facebook, you can track this, that this guy was missing. And then people on Facebook were like, find my brother, Jeremy. He likes going off-roading and going on trails and stuff. An Oregon Water Resources Department snowcat with one sheriff search and rescue member responded to the scene and contacted Taylor and his dog. The pair was found to be in good condition but hungry after being stuck in the snow for 5 days. The man and his dog were brought to the intersection of Forest Service Roads 40 and 45 where they were reunited. Taylor told deputies he'd gone up Road 40 last Sunday, but got stuck in the snow last Sunday. So we're on Sunday now. So last Sunday, he got stuck in the snow. He awakened, so he fell asleep or something. He's like, oh, I'm stuck in the snow. Might as well take a nap. He awakened to even more snow and was still unable to get his 2000 Toyota 4Runner unstuck. Taylor said he tried to walk out on Monday, but the deep snow made it very difficult, and he and Allie returned to the vehicle, the dog. Jeremy stayed warm over the next 4 days by periodically starting his vehicle and used a few taco sauce packets he had as food. So like from Taco Bell, the sauce pack that has about 5 calories in it, that's what kept him alive. Bailey also said the sheriff's office would like to thank everyone who assisted with the search for Jeremy and his dog, Allie. Later Friday, he posted to his Facebook page. So here we have the his Facebook. He's here sitting with his dog in some snow. This is not a picture taken directly after the rescue. Wouldn't that be funny? He's like, I'm rescued, but please, before we get out of the woods, I would like to pose with the dog in front of the car that I have been stranded in. No, this is just a picture from his Facebook page that I grabbed. And here's his post. He says, thank you, everyone. I'm safe. My alley dog is safe. I really appreciate all the help. Got lucky. Let's never do that again. I'll be in touch with everyone soon. Now, the funny thing is, he spells his dog's name differently than the news story. You would think that the news story would do it right, but maybe he calls the dog by a nickname that just is the same name, but spelled differently. Who knows? Anyway, that's funny. But if you're like eating taco sauce packets, you're pretty dumb if you have a dog there that you could eat otherwise. Right? How much longer till he was going to eat the dog? I wonder if he thought about it. Like, man, it's been 5 days. Guess I got to eat this dog. Oh, the news also said it's unclear how he got water. And then everyone goes, no, you're supposed to eat snow. But then other people on the internet go, no, don't eat snow, because the energy that your body, like the calories your body expends to melt snow in your mouth, is worse than the benefit you get from the hydration of the snow. So if you have to eat snow, you have to melt it first using some other heat source. Like, I don't know, have the dog sit on it and then stick your face down under the dog and slurp up all the melted snow. This is also breaking. A group of five teenagers are being credited with the rescue of a boy who was hanging from a ski lift two stories in the air at a North Vancouver resort.
Fold. How is that even possible?
Oh my God.
That is insane.
A man. There's just like a mom recording, and then there's a kid next to the mom yelling. And then if you look in the distance of the video, there's a ski lift, and then there's just a kid hanging with his arms, and his skis are just like on his feet, obviously, still.
Desperately holding on to the boy, unable to pull him back up. Other skiers watching the whole thing unfold.
How is that even possible?
But soon the boy's cries for help were answered by a group of quick-thinking teenagers.
Oh my God.
They pointed to the lift.
They grabbed one of the nets that, you know, what's her name whenever she falls? She just hits the net. Who's that girl? I can't remember her name now.
And I saw the kid dangling and I was like, holy smokes.
At one point it was just one arm that he was hanging on by.
The five friends racing to grab nearby fencing, turning it into a makeshift safety net.
Inside, I had like anxiety. I was like, I don't.
I guess that makes sense because that netting is supposed to catch you when you go out of control, so it should probably catch you from a vertical fall as well.
I don't know what's going to happen to him, but I really just kind of knew that like we could do this.
Then, the ultimate trust
nice.
Fall.
Wow, they're heroes.
The teenagers clapping and cheering once the boy was safely on the ground.
First of all, the kid falls and they catch him in the netting. And then the mom goes, wow, they're heroes. But the kid is still on the ground. Like, there's no guarantee he didn't fracture his spine in the fall. He's still laying there and everyone's like, he's fine, he's fine. Good job.
It was all over so quickly, but it was just three brilliant ideas all put together.
Can we interview the kid?
We saved the kid that way.
Grouse Mountain Ski Resort telling NBC News their quick thinking and immediate actions are commendable, adding the boy who fell wasn't hurt. It's not clear what caused the boy to slip off the lift in the first place. The incident is now under investigation. The resort says it plans to give the teens complimentary season passes for their heroism. As for the group of friends, they're just glad they could help.
It's interesting to be called a hero. I don't think it's really settled in that we've, like, saved a child's
you
life.
You didn't.
It's pretty.
You didn't save anyone's
incredible.
Life. That's, like, 20 feet. How is he going to die from falling just 20 feet? Into snow. It's already padding. Right?
For today, Kristen Dahlgren, NBC News.
All right, whatever. So, next plan. Let's get a kid. We're going to see if we can have him slip off the ski lift, and then we're going to rescue him, and then we're going to get season passes. Now, I don't ski. However, we're going to have to find something that like I'm interested in. Maybe we could stage like a movie theater shooting. And then if you get saved, you get season movie tickets, right? This week was this is a political part of the show. This week was Michael Cohen, who is a man, sentenced to 3 years for like five different charges: tax fraud, making false statements to a financial institution, unlawful corporate contributions, excessive campaign contributions. He was Donald Trump's lawyer for like 10 years, right? And this week he went in front of Congress and decided that, I'm going to jail anyway. Might as well take Donald Trump down with me. And let's see if he did it. Here are some highlights. Here's not
some
highlights.
Mr. Trump's illicit acts rather than listening to my own conscience. I am ashamed because I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist. He is a con man. And he is a cheat. The questions have been raised about whether I know of direct evidence that Mr. Trump or his campaign colluded with Russia. I do not. And I want to be clear, but I have my suspicions. A lot of people have asked me about whether Mr. Trump knew about the release of the hacked documents, the Democratic National Committee emails, ahead of time. And the answer is yes. Mr. Trump knew of and directed the Trump-Moscow negotiations throughout the campaign and lied about it.
All right, you guys bored yet? Me too. Anyway, so this guy went in front of Congress, spoke for pretty much a whole day, and the Democrats said, thank you for coming out and testifying and saying terrible things about Donald Trump. And the Republicans said, you're already a criminal. How can we trust anything you say? So, and then Trump is actually hanging out with Kim Jong-un in Vietnam this week. You guys knew about that, and he's like, Kim Jong-un, stop, hang on, I have to tweet something, and he tweets out, like, Michael Cohen's a big fat liar, right? And you're like, but you guys were in a business relationship for 10 years, and then they each hate each other, so I don't know. That was not a very interesting story, because I'm not really sure what to make of it. Pretty much, one, if you're on one side, you go, Michael Cohen's a big liar. If you're on the other side, you go, finally, someone's trying to take down Donald Trump, but he doesn't necessarily have all of the evidence either of the Russian collusion for the election. A noose has been found hanging at a Boeing plant in South Carolina. An official for the aircraft manufacturer says the company is investigating the appearance of a foot-long noose. Foot-long? Does that mean the diameter of the noose is a foot-long? Or that the string... Well, anyway, whatever. Thursday, at the Boeing campus, the noose was made out of nylon material. There was no note or any other item with it. Nooses are often considered symbols of hate because of their association with lynching. Brad Zaback is vice president and general manager of the 787 program. In a statement to employees, he said he was saddened and angered by the discovery. He said there was absolutely no place for racism in society, and especially at Boeing. Can you imagine if this was just like something that someone made to hang their coat on? Like when they got, like, I need a loop right here so I could hang my coat when I get into work. And so he puts that up, right? And the next day he comes in and everyone's like crowded around this piece of nylon. He's like, and they're staring at it like, it's a noose. And he goes, I can't believe it. Who would do that? Right? Maybe it was the vice president after all. A noose made. What's the difference between a loop of string and a noose? Because there's no picture of it here. It just, I guess there's the curly Q part, right? But how curly does it have to be? How many loops around itself does it become before it's a noose, right? I don't know. All right, so I bought a new car, as I said on the regular show. It's the Volvo S60. I have the quick guide right here. And so you can look through it and you can see all of the different features that the Volvo S60 has. How does pedestrian detection asterisk work? The optional pedestrian and cyclist detection with full auto brake system has a feature that helps detect pedestrians and applies the brakes to help slow or stop the vehicle. This feature is designed to be supplementary driving aid and cannot detect pedestrians or cyclists in all situations. It is not intended to replace the driver's attention and judgment. I don't know if I have this on the car. How do I know? I do have an option in the car that says city safety, and I can turn on city safety. And that seems to make me think that that's the pedestrian watching thing, but I don't know. What does lane keeping aid do? If the vehicle crosses a side marker line or the road center dividing line, the lane keep aid will provide active steering assistance and help steer the car back into the lane. I've tried this. It works like 10% of the time, but I'm too scared to try it to the extreme. So I'll let go of the wheel. I'm in cruise control, and I'll see if it will steer back into the lane. And it did once, and then the other time, I just crossed the center line. It didn't steer back, and now I'm in the other lane halfway. Like, great job, car. How am I supposed to get to work if I can't just set it on cruise control, set the steering aid on, and fall asleep? Right? So I'm too scared to like do a big test on that to figure out how much it can drive on the lanes. So every time I tell someone I got a new Volvo, they say, oh, lol, have you seen the video of the person with the pedestrian assistance where they try to test it and it doesn't work. So they're at like a Volvo dealership or a sales show. So they put the sales manager or some old guy in front of a Volvo and they gun it and see if it hits him. Well, this is taking a long time to start. Oh, car's going. It's going pretty fast. It did not brake. It did not auto brake. It hit the guy. Probably everyone's seen this, right? And nobody's yelling. Nobody's going like, "Oh man, I'm so sorry." Or, "Oops, I forgot to press the button that turns on the pedestrian detection." Now, after I got my car a couple days later, I got a nice note from the Lexus dealership. They said, "We greatly appreciate you choosing Lexus of Manchester for your recent purchase. Blah, 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 blah. As a thank you gift, please accept a complimentary 14-inch portrait of your family created by Mallory Portraits." So what a strange, random gift. I get a free portrait of my family if I head on over to this website, MalloryPortraits.com. Fine art portraiture. I can get my family grouped up. We go in. We get our photos taken, and then we get this portrait that we can just hang on the wall. Or I could just be one of those guys who has a mansion, and then at the end of the mansion is just a picture of me in a frame, like this old sailor that you can see. Or this girl just sitting in a chair. Ah, I didn't even know people still did portraits. I thought everything was just Facebook. Here's me holding a fish. So there's that. Definitely not going to do that because that's hours away. A couple weeks ago, a bunch of kids went up to Senator Feinstein. And they said, "Hey, Senator Feinstein, we would like you to sign this thing that says you're going to support the Green New Deal.
We are trying to ask you to vote yes on the Green New Deal.
Please.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
Okay, so there's a bunch of kids, and you know how you did this when you were in elementary school. You're like, "All right, guys, we're going to draft a letter to our congressman. What do you guys want the letter to say?" And every kid is like, "Ban all drugs," or "Nobody should ever drive a car because it's bad for the environment. Let's write that letter." So they write this letter. It's huge, by the way. It's not just like a typed or handwritten letter on a piece of paper. It's poster size. And so they come up and they go, "We want you to vote yes on the Green New Deal." Not even sure what that is, but we'll figure it out in a second.
"Vote yes on the Green New Deal.
Please.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We have our own Green New Deal.
Some scientists have said that we have 12 years to turn this around."
"Well, it's not going to get turned around in 10 years. What we can do..."
Senator, if this doesn't get turned around in 10 years, you're looking at the faces of the people who are going to be living with these consequences.
Now there's an adult talking, and by adult I mean a girl younger than me probably, but she's like the teacher or the... I'm not sure if this is a class or if it's like a group that does this political thing. And the kids like join it voluntarily. Anyway, the one girl, the young girl, says, "We have 12 years to turn this around." And Feinstein says, "Well, it's not going to get you turned around in 10 years. We know! She said 12. And by the way, if you're wondering and you didn't know, Dianne Feinstein is a Democrat. So this isn't like the Democrats coming up to a Republican and the Republican being a little bitch. Right? They're both on the same side, allegedly.
The government is supposed to be for the people and by the people and...
You know what's interesting about this group is I've been doing this for 30 years. I know what I'm doing. You come in here and you say it has to be my way or the highway. I don't respond to that. I've gotten elected. I just ran. I was elected by almost a million vote plurality. And I know what I'm doing. So, you know, maybe people should listen a little bit."
She's getting a lot of heat for being rude or whatever to the kids. Telling them the truth. Being like, "Hey, you're a bunch of kids and I'm an old lady. I might know more." Now, she probably doesn't. She's probably... And then all the little kids are yelling lines that they were taught. Doesn't matter that we can't vote. We're the ones impacted.
It doesn't matter. We're the ones going to be impacted.
I understand that. I have 7 grandchildren. I understand it very well.
Senator, the cost of not taking this action is far higher than the cost of what the Green New Deal will be. And there is enormous popularity for this bill around the whole country. And we're asking you to be brave and do this for us and for your grandchildren.
Get enough for everybody. I'm trying to do the best I can, which was to write a responsible resolution.
Any plan that doesn't take bold, transformative action is not going to be what we need.
Okay, so Feinstein is a Democrat. She is pro-climate initiatives. What they're saying is, though, that, hey, your deal's not good enough. Do the Green New Deal. I don't know what the Green New Deal is. Apparently, there's a bill for it. But if you head on over to gp.org/green_new_deal, you can read all about it. What the Green New Deal will do. Right now, our federal government subsidizes the rich agribusiness corporations and the oil, mining, nuclear, coal, and timber giants at the expense of small farmers and small businesses and our children's environment. We spend tens of billions every year moving our economy in the wrong direction. The Green New Deal will instead redirect that money to the real job creators who make our communities healthier, sustainable, and secure at the same time. So according to Wikipedia, which may not be right, the Green New Deal is not a thing. It's not like a bill. It's not like a set of proposed things. The Green New Deal is kind of like the Occupy Wall Streeters. Here's a bunch of stuff we kind of all agree on, so we'll just call it the Green New Deal, even though there's no real bill written yet. Okay, here is what the Green New Deal will do. Invest in green businesses by providing grants and low-interest loans to grow green business and cooperatives with an emphasis on small, local-based companies that keep the wealth created by local labor circulating in the communities rather than being drained off to enrich absentee investors. Wow. Move to 100% clean energy by 2030. Prioritizing green research by redirecting research funds from fossil fuels and other dead-end industries toward research in wind, solar, and geothermal. We will invest in research in sustainable, non-toxic materials and closed-loop cycles that eliminate waste and pollution, as well as organic agriculture, permaculture, and sustainable forestry. Point 3 of 3. Provide green jobs by enacting the Full Employment Program. Huh? Which will directly provide 16 million jobs in sustainable energy and energy efficiency retrofitting, mass transit, and complete streets, quote-unquote, that promote safe bike and pedestrian traffic, regional food systems based on sustainable organic agriculture and clean manufacturing. Did they just feed a bunch of... I don't want to make fun of it, because I don't know. It just sounds like they fed a bunch of green words. Local. Pedestrian. Regional, sustainable, clean, into a bot. And they said, can you make a sentence out of this? Oh, boy. So anyway, if you read this, you can find out more about the Green New Deal. So Senator Feinstein says, you know what? No, I am not going to support your version of the Green New Deal. I have my own resolution, and we actually typed it up instead of handwriting it with crayon. And here it is. You guys can all read it. So these kids go, no, 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 your version's not good enough. Actually, they don't even know. The kids don't even know. The kids only know what the adult says. And the adult says that Feinstein's not doing a good enough job. However, Senator Feinstein has her own resolution that says almost the same things, just not as extreme. She says the United States shall reduce net greenhouse gas emissions to zero as soon as possible and no later than 2050, including by instituting a price on carbon that increases over time, impels the cooperation of foreign nations, and uses revenues to defray household costs and spur new zero-emission investments. I'm not sure what net greenhouse gas emissions is versus any greenhouse gas emissions, so maybe I should know that, but like, is it you have to plant one tree per mile you drive in your car? I think it's something like that. Accelerating the pace of research and development to reduce the worldwide cost of technologies that facilitate the reduction of net greenhouse gas emissions to zero. Managing land use decisions to avoid unnecessary new demand for energy. These are all things that they want, that the kids want. Only problem is Feinstein says 2050 instead of 2030. However, she does have something that cuts off at 2025. Let's see what this says. Maintaining the coordinated national program of fuel economy and vehicle emission standards that are currently on course to exceed 50 miles per gallon for new automobiles and trucks by model year 2025, consistent with the standards published by the EPA and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Wait, does this mean that model year 2025 cars have to make 50 miles per gallon? Like all of them? Or what? Because that seems insane. My new car only does 35, and that's only because it's front wheel, like, advertised. I haven't gotten it to that point. But that's only because it's front wheel drive. How could you have any car? I guess you can't have any car that runs on gas. The whole point would be everything has to be electric or hybrid. All right. So that's Senator Feinstein. Speaking of my new car, I don't know what to do with the old car because it's like I crashed it and the back bumper needs to be fixed and everything. I guess I may have it fixed and I may sell it. Or I may just give it away. I don't know. You see those ads on the in the radio. It's like, do you have an old car? Well, we have an old lady who needs to drive an old car. So come on down to the nursing home and donate your old car. We don't even care. And you got a tax write-off. Don't need any tax write-offs, though, because Trump changed the whole thing up. YouTube bans comments on videos deemed vulnerable to pedophiles. All right, this happened a couple of weeks ago or last week. So this guy posted this viral video where he connected to YouTube and he showed a bunch of like gymnastics videos and was like, that's strange. How come this video of a stupid little girl doing gymnastics has 2 million views? And then you look at the comments and all of the comments are people like linking to other videos of girls doing gymnastics. YouTube is disabling comments on millions of videos featuring minors, responding to accusations that pedophiles use comments to network and share links. The move comes a week after Disney, the Fortnite maker, Epic Games, and other companies pulled their ads from YouTube. YouTube says it has already disabled comments on tens of millions of videos that could be subject to predatory behavior. It will broaden that effort in coming months to include more videos that feature young minors. Can you imagine being a kid these days? And you got your iPhone, and you want to post on YouTube. You're like, Dad, check it out. I can do 18 somersaults midair and land back on my feet. Post it on the internet so that I can be picked up by the best gymnastic scouts in the world. And you got to be like, no, you can't. And the kid's like, why? Because there's pedophiles, and they'll just watch your video. The company also plans to bar comments on videos featuring older minors if they're deemed to be at risk of attracting pedophiles' attention. So, okay. So say there's two videos, and one of them's an ugly fat girl, and she's, like, singing happy birthday to her stuffed bear. And the other one is the same age girl, but she's a little skinnier. Now someone at YouTube has to be like, the skinny one is probably hotter. So here's the official announcement. We know that many of you have been closely following the actions we're taking to protect young people on YouTube and are as deeply concerned as we are as we get this right. We want to update you on some additional changes we're making, particularly in regards to comments, building on the efforts we shared last week. What were the efforts they shared last week? They said, my goodness, there's like, you can just keep going link after link after link to watch the previous, so the efforts they did last week was apparently they removed a bunch of comments. So what is what they're doing this week? We recognize that comments are a core part of the YouTube experience and how you connect with and grow your audience. At the same time, the important steps we're taking today are critical for keeping young people safe. How does it keep them safe? From seeing comments? Thank you for your understanding and feedback as we continue our work to protect the YouTube community. Below is a summary of the main steps we've taken. Okay, disabling the comments, we already talked about that. Launching the new comments classifier. While we have been removing hundreds of millions of comments for violating our policies, we had been working on an even more effective classifier that will identify and remove predatory comments. This classifier does not affect the monetization of your video. So someone had to write a little script that said, if the word camel toe shows up on a video with the word gymnastics, remove it. That's probably appropriate, right? Taking action on creators who cause egregious harm to the community. No form of content that endangers minors is acceptable on YouTube. Only endanger older people. Which is why we have terminated certain channels that attempt to endanger children in any way. Videos encouraging harmful and dangerous challenges targeting any audience are also clearly against our policies. Oh, I should have read ahead. We will continue to take action when creators violate our policies, blah, 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 blah. So, lots of drama at the YouTube. The thing is, they have a monopoly on videos, and that is that. Speaking of young people, we're going to go back to what we had as the launch image for the show today, which is the Tremper High School cheerleading squad. Three coaches of Tremper High School's cheerleading squad have been banned from a state competition after complaints about a banquet that included the awards that poked fun at teammates' breasts and buttocks. Well, first of all, let's see what these two idiots on the news have to say about this.
Liberty's union is threatening legal action against Kenosha Tremper cheerleading coaches.
They're accused of sexually harassing their team. Caroline Reinwald is live in Kenosha. And Caroline, you went to the coaches' home.
Huh? She did?
That's right. I spoke to the head coach's husband tonight. He told me he wasn't sure if his wife would be coaching again next season following a scathing letter by the ACLU accusing her of inappropriately focusing on girls' body parts.
Ooh, I have not watched this, actually. I just thought that this would be a short video. Apparently, they go to the house. Let's see what happens.
Hey. Hello. We're Channel 12. We're looking for Patty Utek. Is she here?
She's not here right now.
The husband of Tremper cheerleading head coach Patty Utek did not have much to say about allegations against his wife.
Is there any way that I could, you know, come in there and talk to you about what's going on here or talk to her about what's going on?
It's her response. It's her business.
But the ACLU had plenty to say about her in their letter addressed to Kenosha Unified School District officials Tuesday.
All right, let's check out the letter. This is from the ACLU written to the high school. The ACLU of Wisconsin and the ACLU Women's Rights Project write again to express serious concerns regarding complaints of pervasive gender discrimination, including sexual harassment, body shaming, victim blaming, at two schools located within the Kenosha Unified School District, specifically at the Tremper and Bradford High Schools. Wait a minute. I didn't do any research on Bradford High School. We request that the district take prompt corrective action. Prompt. First, based upon reports we have received from former employees and current parents and students, specifically at the Tremper High School, it is our understanding that coaches hired by the district have engaged in impermissible sexual harassment, sex discrimination, and body shaming of Tremper High School cheerleaders at an annual awards event. Second, we are concerned about public reports that teachers at the Bradford High School are teaching students about sexual assault in a manner that inappropriately blames victims for their assaults. The district must take immediate and decisive action to address these violations and prevent them from reoccurring. Oh boy. I don't know what's harder, reading while trying to breathe or running while trying to breathe. Because sometimes I feel like I have to breathe harder while talking. For at least the past 5 years. 5 years! This has happened. And now all of a sudden, it's a problem? Okay. For at least the past 5 years, the Tremper High School cheerleading squad has held an annual awards banquet at the end of each season with members of the squad. There are typically at least 100 people that attend this event, including family members, friends, and members of the blah, 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 blah. Each year, the coaches have distributed superlative-type awards, like Most Improved, Hardest Worker. We receive disturbing reports that in addition to the more traditional awards, the Tremper coaches distributed three other awards to girls on the cheer squad that objectify their bodies during the 2018 banquet. The Big Booby Stroob Award. Or is it Strooby? Big Booby Strooby? For the cheerleader with the biggest breasts. The String Bean Award for the skinniest cheerleader. And the Big Booty Judy Award for the cheerleader with the largest buttocks. Photos and records of these boobs and butts. Oh, wait. Just kidding. Photos and records received in response to the ACLU's open record request confirm that the Big Booby Strooby and the Big Booty Judy Award were also distributed in 2017. Additionally, during the 2017 banquet, a member of the cheerleading squad with brown hair received a blonde wig as an award because she was deemed a ditzy girl. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Like, you're a little ditzy. Here's a blonde wig. Unbelievable. One parent told the ACLU that in prior years, the coaches made comments about girls' vaginas. In addition to these awards, parents have reported that the Tremper coaches have regularly engaged in harassing language toward the cheerleaders during practices. Students have left practice in tears, have felt shame about their bodies, and have quit the squad due to comments made by coaches. All right, let's see what see if we can find out what they did. In March 2018, the Tremper's cheer coaches distributed the Big Booby Strooby, Big Booty Judy, and String Bean awards to three cheerleaders in front of over 150 people. A parent reported that the coaches laughed hysterically when handing the Big Booby Strooby award. I really hope that I'm saying this correct. To its recipient and made comments on the microphone about what a feat it was that the student could maneuver. What a feat it was that the student could maneuver through cheer routines with her enormous boobs. Okay. Parents and at least one other Tremper High School coach contacted the Tremper principal to report the incidents that arose at the banquet through an open records request, blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Is there anything else interesting here? I would like to know what they were doing at the practice. Well, let's find out what happened at the Bradford High School. Because this one wasn't in the news as much. So the news picked up on the ACLU's Big Boob and Big Butt Award, right? Because they could put that in the headline. Girls got Big Boob and Big Butts Awards. And then you want to click it and see if any of them have that. I don't know. Probably. But, I mean, in this photo I have, they're not all turned around, so you can't tell. Key. Let's see. At Bradford High School, female students are taught that they are at fault when they face sexual harassment. Most recently, on December 17, 2018, students at Bradford High School were instructed to watch a movie as a part of their health curriculum in which a college freshman, Melissa, is drugged and raped by a fraternity brother. The students were then told to fill out a worksheet that asked, "What could Melissa have done differently to have avoided her sexual assault? Provide at least four examples." This question squarely places the blame for a sexual assault on the victim rather than the perpetrator who drugged and raped her. Under no circumstance should students be taught that the onus is on them to avoid being sexually assaulted. Okay. Multiple students submitted complaints to the officials regarding the inappropriate class assignment. In a public statement, the school stated Bradford was asked to promptly remove this assignment from use. The district will be doing a comprehensive review of the health curriculum covering relationships and dating violence, consent, and sexual assault to avoid future incidents. It is our understanding that KUSD has yet to inform students and families about the results of its comprehensive review. So, I guess you guys can come to your own conclusion on that. I'm always told that when you're driving, even if you're a good driver, you'll watch out for someone else doing something stupid. And you be prepared to react to it to protect yourself, right? So, I guess that doesn't apply to getting drugged. I don't know. Or maybe it does, but you're just not allowed to tell anyone about it. Anyway, long story short, the three coaches got banned from the state competition. And the cheerleaders went on, and the lady, the lady who did it basically just said, I honestly don't feel I need to explain myself about how we ran our banquet. Actually, we have run it this way for years and have never had a problem. So the coach doesn't even care. It appears that she is also resigning anyway at the end of the year, so probably doesn't matter. But this all got picked up because of the one ACLU letter that it's apparently been happening for 5 years. The Big Booty Awards. This story got written in by a listener who was waiting for a show to come out.
call to Sedgwick County dispatchers started as a bomb threat when really it should have been more of a warning for those customers in the restroom.
We just had a customer here apparently made what may have been a bomb threat.
Okay, what exactly did he say?
He said, somebody told me there's a bomb in here. You need to leave the building. He said it three times.
A report of a bomb threat at a Wichita Home Depot turned out to be more of a warning for other customers. Police went to the Home Depot, and someone there told staff they overheard the threat in the store's restroom. Police did some investigating and learned that the bomb threat, quote-unquote, came from a man in the bathroom stall warning others about his severity to use the restroom. He said, "You all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up." One witness said he laughed at the remark and took it as a joke. Once police tracked the man down, it became clear it was all a misunderstanding.
That's a 911 call that led police to the Home Depot at K96 in Woodlawn. Someone there told staff they overheard the threat in the store's restroom. Police did some investigating. They learned it was not a bomb threat in a literal sense. Police say a man was in a stall when he told others in the restroom, quote, "Y'all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up," end quote. One witness even said he laughed at the remark and took it as a joke.
That lady just said exactly what I said, because we're probably reading the same exact article. Thanks, listener, for writing in and letting us know of the Home Depot bathroom bomb threat. All right. R. Kelly has been indicted on several counts, 10 counts, of aggravated criminal sexual abuse. Now, I don't know who R. Kelly is, but apparently he sang that song, "I Believe I Can Fly," where Michael Jordan plays with Looney Tunes, right? His attorney, Steve Greenberg, said Cook County State's attorney Kim Fox is succumbing to public pressure and that his client is an innocent man. "I think all the women are lying," the attorney said. R. Kelly did not speak to the media. By the way, his first name is Robert. We have his indictment here. It is 36 pages long. Strap in. Just kidding. We're not reading it. We're not reading 36 pages. However, we can read some of the headlines of some of the, let's say some of the charges. He knowingly committed an act of sexual conduct upon L.C. To wit, Robert Kelly transmitted his semen onto L.C.'s body for the purpose of Robert Kelly's or L.C.'s sexual gratification or arousal by the use of force or threat of force, and the criminal sexual abuse was perpetrated during the course of the attempted commission of any other felony, which was criminal sexual assault by Robert Kelly. All right, so that's one charge. Here's the next charge. He knowingly committed an act of sexual penetration upon H.W., to wit, contact between Robert Kelly's penis and H.W.'s mouth. And H.W. was at least 13 years old, but under 17 years old, and Robert Kelly was at least 5 years older than H.W. That's a charge. Let's see another charge. Committed an act of sexual penetration upon H.W., same person, girl, to contact between Robert Kelly's penis and H.W.'s sex organ. Sex organ. And H.W. was at least 13 years old, but under 17. So that's a second charge. So take note, sexual predators. You can get charged for oral, and then you can get charged for the second thing as two separate charges. No, it's like one time. That's what you got to be like, but I don't think it works. Here's a third charge. Same exact person, knowingly committed an act of sexual conduct upon H.W. by Kelly touched his penis to H.W.'s breast for the purpose of Robert Kelly's or H.W.'s sexual gratification or arousal. Unbelievable. He knowingly committed an act of sexual penetration by Robert Kelly's penis and H.W.'s mouth again. This might have been a separate day. Anyway, so this goes on for several pages, and I don't want to keep saying the P word because we're going to be saying it later under a different circumstance. Mr. Kelly is strong, he's got a lot of support, and he's going to be vindicated on all of these charges one by one if it has to be. Lawyer Greensburg says Kelly is scheduled to appear in court Saturday for a bail hearing. An arraignment is set for March 8th. So March 8th, that is in 8 days. I'm not sure if he's bailed out or not. Great news guy I am, right? All the charges handed up in an indictment from the grand jury span from 1998 to 2010. Oh, my goodness. He faces 3 to 7 years in prison on each count. So we will find out how that goes. It is not a good week or two for if your name is Robert and your last name is K. Patriots owner Robert Kraft charged with soliciting prostitution in Florida human trafficking bust. The charge follows a series of raids involving at least 8 massage parlors on the east coast of Florida. On Tuesday, police announced the arrest of 2 women on prostitution, racketeering, and money laundering charges and said nearly 200 others would be arrested on solicitation charges. Thursday, police in Vero Beach announced the arrest of 8 other suspects linked to 3 massage parlors, plus nearly 200 men who solicited prostitution. Police confirmed Friday that Kraft was involved in the bust. Can you confirm it's Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots? Someone asked the police. Police said, yes, sir. They said he's being charged with the same offense as all the others, soliciting another to commit prostitution. Soliciting another to commit prostitution? All right, let's read the affidavit. Against Robert, Kraft, not Kelly. What Robert Kraft did is way less of an accusation against than Robert Kelly. Robert Kraft is accused of a misdemeanor only. He probably will never even go to jail. All right, let's look into it. October of 2018, members of the Jupiter Police Department. Whoa! They came from Jupiter? Began an investigation into criminal activity occurring at Orchids of Asia Day Spa, located at 103 South U.S. Highway 1C2 in Jupiter. Ooh, can we call this place? On January 17th, 2019, this is very recent. By the way, this is during the playoffs, when the Patriots are in the playoffs and the owner is just like, I'm just going to hang out at these spas in Florida. Wait, why was he in Florida? Did they play a team in Florida? No, right? Anyway, I guess he can just go anywhere. He's Robert Kraft. On January 17, 2019, covert surveillance equipment was installed in the Asia Day Spa pursuant to a sneak and peek warrant. What? We have to figure out what this is. Sneak and peek warrant? Oh my goodness, a sneak and peek warrant is a search warrant authorizing the law enforcement officers executing it to effect physical entry into private premises without the owner's or the occupant's permission or knowledge and to clandestinely search the premises. Usually, such entry requires a stealthy breaking and entering. Law enforcement officers are not prohibited from seizing any property on the premises. For example, blah, 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 blah. Under the USA Patriot Act, the first time in U.S. history, sneak and peek warrants were used as a standard procedure in investigation. Sneak and peek warrants are addressed in section... Okay, so they sneaked in. They installed a cam from Amazon.com/cam and in like the massage parlor. And they're like, yep, sneak and peek warrant. I can now watch anyone. The following narrative is a description of the illicit activity that took place. This is from room surveillance camera JPPD Cam 3. This is on January 19th, 2019 from 4:45 p.m. to 5:25 p.m. So only a 40 minute span here. Robert Kraft, blue shirt, blue ball cap. On January 19th, 2019, video surveillance was conducted at the Target business. Not at Target, at the Target business. At approximately 4:45 p.m., Kraft entered the listed establishment and paid for services in cash at the front desk to an Asian female, previously identified as redacted, which was captured on JPP Cam 5. They've got a lot. They've got like 5 cams in this sneak and peek. Kraft was taken by redacted to a massage room identified as JPP Cam 3. Kraft undressed, laid on the massage bed completely nude, and partially covered himself with a sheet. Kraft was observed using a cell phone while waiting in the room. At approximately 4:49, redacted and another female, previously identified as redacted, entered the room and began massaging Kraft. A short time later, the sheet is removed, and Kraft laid on the massage bed face down. at 5:12 p.m., Kraft, so this is, how long did that go on for? So like 23 minutes, he's being massaged. At 5:12 p.m., Kraft turned over onto his back, and the lights in the room go out. At 5:14, 2 minutes later, the room is illuminated, and Redacted can be seen with her hands near Kraft's genitals. The room is illuminated again. What? It was like illuminated a little bit, and then illuminated again? Redacted can be seen standing to Kraft's right side, and her hand is seen manipulating Kraft's penis. At 17:16, 2 minutes later, Redacted can be seen wiping Kraft's penis with a white towel. At 17:24, Kraft handed both Redacted and Redacted cash, and they responded by hugging him. Redacted and Redacted then proceeded to finish dressing Kraft, and he left the room. Wow. Surveillance on scene. Oh, this is a person who was scoping it out. They said he entered through the front door, exited through the front door 40 minutes later. Okay, that is affidavit number one. Let's read the second one. So first of all, turned over on his back at 5:12, and at 5:14, it's illuminated, and her hands are near his penis. At 5:17, she wipes it with a towel. Is it prostitution to get your penis wiped with a towel? I don't know. All right, next day. This is the next day. January 20th, video surveillance was conducted at the Target business. At approximately 10:59 a.m., Kraft entered the business through the front door, which he paid cash to the front desk to an Asian female previously identified as Redacted, which was captured on Cam 5. Redacted escorted Kraft to a room identified as Cam 2. Ah, a different room. There, the two hugged each other. Kraft took off all of his clothes, laid face up on the massage table, and hugged him again at approximately 11:02, so it took 3 minutes to get in. Redacted began manipulating Kraft's penis and testicles, and then put her head down by his penis. This went on for several minutes. After a few minutes, Redacted wiped Kraft in the area of his genitals with a white towel, helped him get dressed, and hugged him again. Kraft gave Redacted a $100 bill plus at least one other unidentifiable bill. Kraft left at approximately 11:13. So all of 11 minutes he was in the room. So that's what he's charged with. Oops. Did you guys hear me hit the mic stand? Soliciting prostitution by being in a massage parlor and having his genitals manipulated. This is an update to a previous story. Psychological examination has found a Joaquin man accused of seeking a girl online to sexually assault, murder, and cannibalize to be competent to stand trial. This was an update about 3 weeks ago. Alexander Nathan Barter was arrested in October following an undercover officer's investigation. Special agent posed as the father of a young girl and communicated with him after seeing a post in the dark web seeking someone interested in allowing him to commit necrophilia and cannibalism. This is the guy that said, "Nice! Can we kill her?" To the guy and ask if he could eat her daughter. So I wanted to see if there was an update to this, and there was. He has been mentally stable to stand trial. So we're going to be following that trial, and hopefully we will get some more information because it is still impossible. I've checked multiple times to get the actual affidavit from the place without driving to literal Texas. So if anyone lives in whatever this place is, Beaumont, Texas, and wants to go down to the court and see if we can grab the affidavit info, that'd be great. Fax it on over to me. My number can be found at alexjones.com. How many minutes do we have to do this more for? Okay, not many. Final story that I have lined up, I think. NT man. What is NT? I think they mean New York man. I think they literally mistyped this. New York man found tied up, duct taped, fakes his own abduction.
Square stunner. New York State police say that a North Tonawanda man faked his own abduction because he owed a lot of money from a lost bet on the big game.
This is from the police. Troopers arrested Robert Brandell, 60, of New York, for scheme to defraud in the first degree and falsely reporting an incident in the third degree. On February 27th, 2019, at 2:37 p.m., troopers responded to blah, 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 some address, parking lot for a male found tied up in a vehicle. Troopers located the blue Ford F-150 parked with a single male occupant in the back seat with a rope tied around his neck, attached to the headrest, and his hands and ankles bound with duct tape. Troopers rescued the male, identified as Robert Brandel, and started a robbery and abduction case. Brandel's vehicle was processed for possible suspect evidence while troopers took a deposition from him. He claimed that on Monday, February 25th, he picked up two males that were involved in his Super Bowl squares. Once they entered his vehicle, one of the males brandished a pistol and took $16,000 cash he had from the Super Bowl squares. Brandel then claims that they made him drive around Western New York at various places for 2 days against his will. Then they tied him up in the backseat of the vehicle and left him in the Tops parking lot Tuesday night. Further investigation and interviews revealed that this elaborate story was fabricated because Brandel was running a $50,000 payout Super Bowl pool in which he made up names on some of the squares hoping to win and take most of the winnings. Brandel was unable to make the payouts and was short for most of the $50,000. Okay, so let's do the math here. So $500 a square, right, would be, because there's 100 squares in the Super Bowl pool, 10 by 10. So he runs a $500 a square Super Bowl pool. He sold, I don't know, if he says he had $16,000 cash, then he sold 32 of the squares, like only a third of them. We don't know if that's true or not, but whatever. So he sold a certain amount of them. And then he's like, hey, I got this great plan. I will just pretend. I'll just pretend that I sold the rest of them to like Joe and Bill and LaQuisha, right? I'll just write those names on the squares. Doesn't matter that I don't have the money. I still have the $16,000. And as long as I win at least two of the other squares, what are the chances I don't, right? I just make up names and I'll just pocket the entry fees. So he tells everyone else, I sold all the squares. There's $50,000 in this pool. You can win it. When in his head, he's like, I'm probably going to win because most of these are fake. So no one wins, therefore I win. Anyway, didn't end up winning, huh? He was unable to make the payouts and was short most of the $50,000. So he said, I've been kidnapped. Police said Brandel claimed he picked up two men, blah, blah, blah. O'Callaghan said a lot of things seemed off. We're on the third day when we find him. He's pretty clean shaven around his beard. A normal person that's abducted and has gone through something like that, their heart rate would be very high. They're very worried, depressed, a lot of emotions that will be bubbling up. The police said it was all a cover. He ran a $50,000 payout pool in which he made up names. Now, simultaneously, they should be like, hey, who's betting on this? And then arrest all those people for betting. Illegally betting! On things. What else do you guys want to talk about? This has been News with Nick. We're 59 minutes in. And thanks for hanging out. I really have nothing. That concludes all of the things that I prepared to talk about. So we're right on time. And thank you for coming to the show. Newswithnick.com. Bye.